Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now a 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
It's a great day if you're a Major League Baseball fan. Pitchers and catchers reporting, spring training's right around the corner. We have certainty this year. We didn't have that last year, and now we're looking at possibly a 162-game season. We're going to talk Major League Baseball right now with one of my favorite guests here on the show, Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, now an analyst for the Giants, does some work with KNBR. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Bill, as always, a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time once again.
Yeah, once again, we start Major League Baseball season, and what a difference a year makes. Of course, last year we were thinking 162 games at this time, and then COVID-19 hit and everything got shut down. But I just believe this year they're going to really try to push that 162. I think teams understand that COVID-19 is still prevalent out there, and it's just going to take day to day. And first day of spring is always a good day for baseball fans.
All right, so you're a former big league pitcher. You've been around the game all these years. Now you cover it. So tell me, we hear pitchers and catchers reporting. What really happens during that first week where it's just pitchers and catchers?
It's really just basic drills. You know, you're covering first base. You're doing the double play balls. You're doing the bunt defenses. You're really just going one-on-one with your catcher, starting to understand different drills with your catcher, the mindset with your catcher, signs. And you're throwing on the side. You're getting your 50, 60 pitches in, starting to ramp up how many pitches you can throw, as well as learning your pitching coaches. A lot of these guys that are going to different teams don't know the pitching coaches. And it's just really a schedule, getting back in that day-to-day grind. And, you know, you go through the winter, you're not day-to-day, you work out, you're done in 2 hours, 3 hours, you throw a little bit. But now it's competition between yourself, your team, and you're starting to get the mindset of how do you build your team? And it starts with pitchers and catchers.
Okay, so there was quite a few teams this offseason that hit that very hard. One of my favorite moves of the offseason was the New York Yankees getting Jameson Taillon for next to nothing from the Pittsburgh Pirates. That was a reoccurring theme, I know, over the offseason. The Pirates giving up players for belly button lint and toothpicks. But, Bill, the two main rotations, and we've talked a lot about it here on the show, it's the Padres, it's the Dodgers, and it's two teams that I know you're well familiar with being in the National League West. Both made substantial moves. The Dodgers luring in the biggest free agent fish in Trevor Bauer, but then you look at what the Padres did. They went out, they grabbed Yu Darvish, they grabbed Blake Snell. Who were you most impressed with as far as the offseason moves and now moving into the new season?
Well, I think the first thing we generate is how these teams are going after pitching. And that's the main thing that all these teams were trying to center around. It seemed like from last year with the 60-game season, it started looking at what are we doing with starting pitching? What are we doing with the bullpen? And with the Padres and the Dodgers, the two top teams in the NL West, and I think the two top teams in the National League, that will be combined fighting for that championship, both these teams definitely strengthened their rotation. And I would have to go with the San Diego Padres being the top one. Once Clevinger went down with Tommy John, they understood they had to rebuild that rotation. And they did a great job, as you said, picking up Blake Snell, Yu Darvish. And they still have Lament and Paddock as two possibilities. You're 3-4. And then you also got Musgrave they picked up, another name that came from the Pirates. And you look on the Dodgers side, how could you not strengthen that rotation? That rotation was number one last year, and sure enough, they go get Bauer, the number one Cy Young winner from last year. And now the top three in there, Bauer, Buehler, and Kershaw, unbelievable, the top three pitchers for them.
Yeah, it's really going to be interesting. And here we are talking about the Dodgers and the Padres, and I think one of the teams that could lurk into the conversation is one of the top rotations in the National League. It's the Washington Nationals. This team's only 2 years removed from a World Series championship, Bill, and I know that we haven't seen Steven Strasburg pitch a whole lot in the first year of that seven-year, $245 million deal they gave him. But if I'm a Nationals fan, and I'm hearing this talk about the Dodgers and the Padres, I'm probably raising my hand in the back saying, wait a second, we still have Max Scherzer. We still have Steven Strasburg, and if he's even a shell of his former self, he's a very viable option at number two, and you have Patrick Corbin. The Nationals aren't getting a lot of pub, but they still have a big three themselves.
You're absolutely right. You know, I looked at the top five starting rotations in Major League Baseball, and the Philadelphia or the Nationals finished fifth. And what I'm talking about there is just what you said, Scherzer, Corbin, Strasburg. Another one of those top three starters that you go up against. Of course, the health always worries about Strasburg. That's one of the biggest concerns with him. Eric Feedy comes in. Joe Ross comes in at 4 or 5. Still good starting five. And you start looking at the Nationals, and they picked up a few new players. There's no doubt about it. They're starting to contend again. You know what? The National League, it just seems, are getting stronger. You know, the Cubs kind of bailed out on a few players, and then they go get Jake Arrieta back. So, you know, it is another year of pitching. And I can't wait to start developing some rotations against each other and see how some of these guys will fare when it goes one-on-one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. I also like what the Atlanta Braves did. But, Bill, as I mentioned, one of my favorite offseason moves, it was the Yankees going out and getting Jameson Taillon. This is a kid that I followed during his time in Pittsburgh. I like what he has. And Pittsburgh rehabs this kid all year long, and then they just give him away to the Yankees. Outside of that, if you're a Yankee fan, you probably are a little bit disappointed in the fact that you spent all this money on Gerrit Cole, and it goes back to the idea of protecting your assets. The Yankees didn't spend a whole lot of money on that pitching rotation this offseason.
I agree with you. I was a little surprised the Yankees didn't go after some of these big names. Of course, they might have. We just don't know how far they went in a couple of negotiations. But, again, the Yankees are sitting there, at probably the top dog in the NL East or AL East. And, you know, you would think that way. But, again, their payroll is still top of the line. They're still going to contend. But I'm telling you what, if they don't contend and start winning and getting into the playoffs, getting further in the playoffs, there's going to be some problems in New York.
Yeah, especially with what's happening with that other team in New York. I mean, they were more active. They go out and they land Francisco Lindor. They were in the Trevor Bauer sweepstakes. You look at that pitching rotation. There's no question that the Mets had a much more flashy offseason than the Yankees, hands down. It's not even close.
Not even close. And you know, trading with Cleveland, picking up a couple of nice players there, some input. And I just think the Mets are still going to try to make some trades and still land a couple other players. But I like what they did. They kind of cleaned house a little bit, and they're building that rotation. A rotation is another top of the line, top five. So it is going to be interesting how the Mets move forward. You got a new owner, and see if Cohen's going to spend a little bit more money. But there's no doubt they're making a change in New York on the other side, the New York Mets.
Again, Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, our guest right now as we talk pitchers and catchers reporting in Major League Baseball. Bill, one of the fun storylines this offseason was the news that broke just over the last 24 hours, Joe Maddon coming out and saying, Shohei Ohtani, there's no limits. This guy is now a full two-way player. Well, we've been hearing this for quite some time, but now it looks as if the time is finally here. And I'm never a guy that hovers around the hyperbole, but I honestly feel with the hype that has been surrounding this kid, and you look at the situation with the Angels, this may be a make-it-or-break-it year for this guy being a two-way player.
Well, the hype was there when they first signed him, no doubt about it, because the Giants were knocking on the door right along with the Angels, and the Angels ended up picking him up, and sure enough, he gets a Tommy John on his elbow, and he really, really struggled. And now he's healthy, and we saw him, and we talked about this years ago, when his first start against the A's, he was dynamic on the mound. I mean, there wasn't a pitch he didn't make where it wasn't hitting a corner or a rise ball or a good breaking ball, and then the news hits where he hurt his arm. And now the Band-Aids are off. Now it's a full-go spring training, complimenting on how he hits, the DH, and possibly playing some outfield. But I just think he's going to be on the mound in one of those five, and I'm anxious to see how he comes back. And you know, when Joe Maddon says something, you know he's excited about it because the Angels team, they need to make some noise down there. They picked up a few players, too, and a couple pitchers, but at the same time, they haven't done much in the AL West in years.
No, they haven't, and it's sad because you are wasting one of the rare, unique talents in Mike Trout. This is a guy that's only played in 3 playoff games, and there's legitimate conversations about where he ranks all-time history-wise. And again, justifiably so, the guy is that dynamic. But yeah, there have been some problems with this Angels team, and one of the things when I look at Ohtani, I guess the one aspect we forget, Bill, and I think you're probably better to speak on this being a former player, we can talk about the analytics, we can talk about the statistics, and we can talk about the previous outings. But when you have a guy that you may rely on to be in your starting rotation, and he's going to bat every day, the mental grind has to come in at some point.
It does. And you start wondering, you know, where and why are you doing both, you know? But again, the talent from this guy is unbelievable. It's off the charts. He can swing and knock him out of the yard. He's got a top average and a batting average. So how can you not put him in that lineup to complement Trout? And you put those two guys along with the base runners they have and the speed they have. I mean, it does complement itself. But then again, you have to watch out when he's on the mound. And you're putting all your assets on both sides of batting as well as pitching. But that's what you get out of superstars sometimes. And he's totally a top-notch superstar. So it is going to be interesting to see how they gauge him as a pitcher. Are they going to cut him back in innings pitched? Are they going to watch his pitch count? And I think that's one thing a lot of these teams are going to start doing now. I read a stat where the L.A. Dodgers for the last 8 seasons have never had a pitcher pitch on a 4-day rest. It's always been the fifth day, And they think longevity of a pitching staff is counting pitches and taking plateaus during the season. Now, in spring training, you do that. Most teams don't do that during the season, maybe that first month. But the Dodgers seem that 8 years back, they haven't had any arm problems. They haven't had anybody missing starts. And when you start thinking of that and how many NL championships they've won, and, of course, the World Series champions last year, those are analytics that come to the stage when you start looking at how you deal with starting pitching.
Bill, I got to get your perspective on a trade that went down in the National League West. Again, a division that you follow very closely. There were a lot of upset Colorado Rocky fans out this way, and rightfully so with the way things went down. I'm curious as to your thoughts on the Rockies organization, if we're starting with Breidich, the general manager, all the way up to ownership with this organization and the trade that was made for Nolan Arenado. If you're a Rocky fan, what hope do you have?
Yeah, I was disappointed. I really was. I really thought he'd be a Rocky for his entire career when they gave him that big-time contract. I thought for sure that was going to set the stage, but it didn't. And when he signed it, he said they were telling me they're going to build this team. They're going to make this a World Series team. And the one spring training, he said they didn't do anything. They didn't go out and buy anybody. They didn't go out and purchase another contract. And right then and there, I said, uh-oh, the waters are getting ruffled in Colorado because now he's speaking out. And sure enough, there was more talks as the season went through, and St. Louis was one of the teams that went knocking on the door, but they didn't want to pay that kind of money. And sure enough, I think the Rockies just got rid of that contract, got some money back from the Cardinals. They lost the premier third baseman in the National League. He is the best NL third baseman. There's no doubt about it. Now he goes to an organization that's opening their arms, want to re-sign him. They want him to be happy. Boy, oh boy, the Cardinals got one hell of a player, and the Rockies didn't get anything.
Yeah, so from the Giants' perspective, you're obviously happy to see this guy get out of the division. When you take a look at third, I guess the best third baseman now in the National League or in the National League West would be Manny Machado. I believe there's a big downgrade there. No disrespect to Machado. That's just my thoughts on it. So, Bill, when you look at the Giants' offseason, what stood out to you there?
Well, the Giants went out and got a couple of pitchers. They signed Gausman, who had a really good year last year. They gave him a qualifying offer at 18.5. Cueto's coming back. That's a big arm. Alex Wood they picked up. All these guys they picked up on one-year contracts. Some of the things they moved, they got Stastella from the Angels, who went to the A's as a backup infielder. My biggest thing I look at the Giants is, you know, the 3 World Series champions – they had. This is the last year, Crawford, Belt, and Posey. They're all in their last year of their mega deals. So next year, a lot of the money is going to come off the books. Cueto's done after this year. And I think that's why Farhan went out and did one-year deals. He did a couple, you know, 2-year deals here, but nothing to the point where he is rebuilding. There's so many young players that are about to gauge on the big leagues. Ramos, an outfielder, is 21 years old. Luciano, a shortstop, who's 19 years old. Joey Bart, a little bit last year, 22. Patrick Bailey, who was the number one pick. Wilson, they picked up, was a shortstop from the Angels, was a number one pick. The nucleus of the Giants the next couple of years is going to be huge on this young youth movement. I'm excited about that, but at the same time, watching these three guys, Belt, Crawford, and Posey, on their last year with the Giants, it kind of saddens me because I watched these guys come all the way through San Jose, which is the A-ball team when they were 19, 20 years old, and you look at them now and they're veterans in the big leagues. Another year, maybe a 500 team, maybe a little better than that, but when you're looking at the NL West, there's only two teams you're competing against, and that's the Padres and the Dodgers, and you're going to watch those two teams just humiliate some of the teams in the National League because they're so strong in every avenue, and I can't wait to see those two teams going at it because I think that rivalry just need another notch in all our belts to watch because those two teams are going to be dynamic.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. Again, Bill Lasky, our guest right now. Bill, look forward to more conversations now that spring training is finally here. I know that you got a full workload this year as well on top of everything else you're doing. Please let the listeners know where they can find more of you.
Yeah, jumping on the radio. I'm going to be a radio guy now. I'm going to be doing KNBR shows, the pregames and the postgames on Saturdays and Sundays, and then holidays, doing a 3.5-hour pregame and then a 2-hour postgame on Saturdays and Sundays, and I'm really excited about it. I have my own show on, and you can also stream that on your computer at KNBR, 680 AM, 104.5 FM. I'm excited about that, and it's a turn walking away from the TV side and doing radio, but at the same time generating some great baseball pregame shows with guests and interviews, as well as the postgame show where I start analyzing what happened to the Giants that day. But excited for a new year, 2021. I'm just excited baseball back, and I think you are too, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cannot wait. Best time of the year. Bill, thank you so much for the time. Look forward to another talk here soon.
Always great, my friend, and thank you. And thank your listeners, too. I love the listening to them, listening to us, and it's great baseball talk once again and as we start another year between you and me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's break one more time. We'll come back, put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. It's right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.